Okay, here's our friend Ian. You can take it away whenever you like.
Okay, thank you all. Thanks, Lonnie. Hi, some familiar faces in face and some that are not face but are hiding behind pictures. I'm grateful to be here. And I'm going to do the best I can to talk about 8, 9, and 20 minutes, what usually takes me about 6 or 8 weeks in a workshop, because it's really important. Not that any steps are less or more important than others, but I think that this is really a powerful part of a 12-step program. And so how I like to start this is that, you know, and I'll do it at from the Big Book Awakening kind of view, to respect the Big Book Awakening, I'll throw some of my experience in, and then I'll kind of go over some of the process too, if I have enough time to do it. But what is 8 and 9? Or, you know, a lot of times you hear someone share an 8-step talk and they start talking about amends and what they did and the whole thing. But step 8 is very simple. It's a list of the people we harmed. But it's really important. Like, it goes all the way back to the first step, that I had a true first step experience, and I really still believe that, or I'm not going to be real effective in my 8th step. Because if I really don't have what I consider depth and weight in the first step, I'm still going to have self-will in the 8th step and start running the show myself about who, because I'm going to project the amends, and I'm not going to actually go with what's in what the process is and just putting all the names down. And so, you know, and why it's important to have that first step experience is because in the 3rd step, there's a really important line when we, right after we say the prayer, that asks us if we're entirely ready to abandon ourselves to God. Because again, if I don't have a true first step experience, I'm not going to have a 3rd step experience, because I won't need to abandon myself to God, because I still think I can have some power to run the life, run the show. And what it's going to drive me through when I get to 5, 6, and 7 is I may see the objectionable behaviors. I may see the harms I caused when I ran life on self-will, you know, writing inventory to see how I play God in all areas of my life. But again, there's going to be the same question I have to take into consideration before I get into the 3rd step prayer. When I come into 6 and 7, am I ready to change, or am I still have power to run my life? Maybe I've changed to the extent with regards to my first half of my first step problem, but maybe the insanity of running my life again has creeped in, not the insanity of starting or stopping in whatever process or substance I'm suffering from. Because if I'm not ready to change, 8 and 9 are really useless, because for me, at least, I'm sharing my experience. They may have some effect, but we're talking about the transformational permanent effect, not some temporary relief or pressure valve, but to have an experience sufficient that I don't have 3rd alternatives running my life, and I'm trusting and relying on God to run my life. So first and foremost, coming out of it, if for me, if I haven't made a full 8-step list, I really haven't done a 7th step, because I wasn't entirely ready. And that's a big, powerful word too, because I would say 95% of the people that I've sponsored over the years or talked to, or people that call me and they're looking for a new experience and stuff, never even see those words, when ready, because they do a 7th step just because it's like brushing your teeth. They say a few prayers and a few words, but they don't understand the commitment they're making at that time. And you can't understand it if you don't have full understanding of 6, and it all falls back to 1. So leaving that in the kind of the premise here, I write the 8-step list to look at my life and the debris and damage I've done when I ran life on self-will, when I tried to direct and run the life, when there was no father, there was no director, there was no employer, and there was no principal. There was Ian. And I can tell you point blank, when Ian runs the show, two things happen. It doesn't go well and I cause a harm. And it might not be right off the bat, but it'll happen. So we come in here and we're looking to repair the damage, to take responsibility for our actions, not necessarily to fix relationships, and not just to say, I'm sorry. Because what we're looking at, I'm sorry, is when I bump you in the subway on my way to the office. You know, we're talking about, I hurt you or harmed you because I played God in your life and mine. And the only way I can really understand how to move forward with that is to first get a list. And the list is a forgiveness step too. It starts a process for me to forgive myself, because when I'm sponsoring or working with someone, or even myself, when I come into here and I have to write some inventory, I have to ask myself a really point blank question. If I did it all over again, would I do it the same? I have to really understand that that was some of the stuff I did was the best I could do at the time. I mean, I didn't know any different. Today, I know a little different. And when I do it, it's more of a third step retrade where I think I'm going to be the controller again. But back in the first or second, maybe even my third inventory, I really didn't have the depth and the real understanding of why I'm doing it. And, you know, here's a line that I like to use too when I'm talking to someone about this part, making an 8-step list. Do you say the Lord's Prayer out of just convenience, or do you really listen to the words you're saying? Because we're asking to be forgiven, right? But that forgiveness comes by forgiving those who trespass against us as well. So this process of the 8-step list isn't about but what they did to me. This is clearly putting aside everything that's happened. Am I ready and willing to write a list down of all the harms I may have caused running life on self-will? And once I have that list on paper, in the Big Book Awakening method, I transfer them on to like an 8, you know, here's a little sample, index card, and I'll write the name, right? How to get a hold of them, and a plus or minus if I'm willing or not willing to make the amends. And then I'll write what I believe to be the harm. And most of the time, I would say over 75%, it's delusion. My delusion of what the harm is not generally really the true harm. It's just like looking at the bedevilments and thinking that's a spiritual malady. That's an external reaction to an internal problem. The bedevilments are what we do when we're in spiritual malady. And it's the same delusion I have with the harms I cause. And I'll generally, if I'm making a proper amends, I'll generally find the truth around that if the other person's honest as well and willing to do it. So, you know, then on the back of the card, I generally write the harm that I believe I caused. And then I'll ask a couple questions. I write the questions down in the beginning so I don't forget them. But I want to know if there's any other harms which I may have caused that I don't know about. And I want to know if they want to tell me how any of it hurt them, right? If they want to discuss how it affected them. And then I like to ask them the basic question of, you know, what can I do to make it right? So, but the most important thing that I always overlooked was, what are the other harms which I caused that I was not aware of? Because the majority of the time, you look at, there's certain parts of the Big Book that are so spot on. I was talking to someone this morning about it. You know, like, we think we're doing the right thing. We think our motives are right. But the truth underneath it all is, I need you to play a role in my life for me to be okay. And the definition of selfish is me taking action with no regard on how it affects you. So I may delude myself to believe that you'll be better off if you do it my way. But maybe you don't. Maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you don't want me to run your life and play God. And, you know, that's how the harms are caused. We step on the toes of our fellows. They retaliate. We don't think there's a reason. It all roots to one basic primary root. I don't trust and rely on God, so I need to step in and protect myself and cover the bases. So after I have the list and I've made the cards, I am very different than a lot of people that I hear. If I'm sponsoring or working with you, this is not a 50-yard dash to finish your amends so you can go to a meeting and tell everyone you finished all your amends and you pat yourself like, I'm proud I finished all my amends, because that self will run riot all over again. I pray on my cards constantly, and I ask God to reveal to me when it's right time to make the amends, and when it's right time, they'll appear. You know, because if I go rushing to you to make amends, I'm really not sorry. I've got a goal. I have a finish line here that I need to get to. And you know, so I'll tell people stuff and kind of interject and try and force them to hear me, where this is a really intimate process. And see, I have to understand also, what is an amends? Like, what is that? You know, and really for me, and, you know, I usually like to say a set-aside prayer around this, and I'll just bullet it. You know, if how I'm telling you is different than how you've done it with your sponsor or you sponsor, it's okay. How you do it's right also. I'm just sharing my experience on how it works for me. So if I say something that's different, don't put the wall up and shut yourself off, because it's not how you do it. You know, over the years, I've learned to be open to hear everybody's stuff, and I've changed over the years as well to stuff I never realized that I was doing that wasn't right. You know, so what I have to really be clear on is that I'm doing this to have a spiritual experience, to get, you know, not to get closer to God, because I don't believe I can be any closer to God than I am right now if he's deep down inside of me, but to clear away anything that's affecting a deep and effective relationship with God, to allow God to run my life so I don't have to do it, so I don't have to make another list. So I need to understand that the amends process is twofold, for me at least. The first part of it is that I need to take responsibility for actions I caused and harms I caused. That's first and foremost. And responsibility isn't saying I'm sorry. Like, it's changing the terms and conditions of how I live, not just with you, with everybody. Because if I go make an amends to you and harm, you know, if I make an amends to Lonnie and go to Judith and do the same thing, I'm not changing. I'm just appeasing Lonnie because I hurt her. But this is about changing my behavior, my life. And I always ask people, and I ask myself this question, you know, what's my role here? If the book says I'm fitting myself to be of maximum service to God and the people around me, then this process is part of the fitness of it. So I can't be of maximum service to God and the people around me if I'm still harming his children, right? I can't be of maximum service if I'm not really truthful to myself of, am I really willing to change? Because maybe I'm not willing. And that's why there's a prayer. We ask God to help us be willing. Maybe you have to sit on that for a while until you're willing. So in the book, it gives us a bunch of examples of making amends to someone we hated, to, you know, financial, to ex-wives, to criminal offenses, all different kinds of basic examples of how to approach those people back when
there was no real formal guidance. They sent a book out. If you were lucky, someone was around to guide you through the fifth and third step, but the rest you're on your own. And you just went out and did it, and you did the best you could. But the book is clear at the end in 164, where it says that we only know a little, that God's going to constantly disclose more to us and them. You know,
in 5 minutes remaining.
Oh, you got it. So I believe that the process of making amends has changed for me over the years, probably would have changed for the authors that wrote the book. Like, for me, going to somebody and tell them that I can't get over drinking if you don't hear this amends is a selfish attitude, because I'm telling you, you have to listen to me for my benefit. So, and again, I need to understand what's an amends. In my business, in my career, we manage and control real estate. And, you know, most of the people that are in properties have a lease. And it's something happens during the term of their lease, either for me or for them. We have a meeting and then we amend the lease and we draft up a document, and it's called the lease amendment. And that changes the terms and conditions of the original relationship. And from that point forward, we're going on a new direction. And that to me is what an amends is about. Not I'm sorry, but I'm changing the direction I'm treating you and other people going forward. What I did before is no longer valid. I have a new set of directions and instructions and a new path to live on. And so you know, one of the things that, and I'll try and do as fast as I can, but, you know, and I'll come out of the big book for something. There's a couple lines in the big book that are really critical for me in this thing, that I'm supposed to remind myself that I've gone to any length to find a spiritual experience, because I have to be clear, whatever the first half of your first step problem is, it really all boils down to the spiritual malady. And what we're trying to do here is overcome a malady that's sufficient to create a condition for me to get insanity to return to start again. So this process is the key link for me to enter into a world where I'm living in a way that I didn't live before. You know, so the consideration here is, am I willing to be transformed? Because if I'm not, I won't do what's necessary to make this amends. You know, but again, that's up to God, not up to me. I need to pray on these things. And every single time I had a very challenging situation, God opened the door and it was there in front of me when I least expected it. But I was ready because I had always been praying for the willingness. You know, you look back at Henrietta Seiberling, they were praying for a solution for Dr. Smith for years. And one day Bill showed up and she said, "We've been praying for you." I feel the same thing with my amends cards. Constantly pray on them and God opens the door and that situation's right in front of me. And I have the power to do it, not on mine, because it was available to me at that moment. And then there's another line that tells me the spiritual life's not a theory. I have to live it, right? And that's, I believe that, because this isn't like a book situation. This isn't about studying the black parts of the page and having good share, knowing all the dots and the musts and, you know, to get up there and quote the big book. Are you being the big book? Are you living it? Are you doing what's in the book? And then the last thing I'm going to read really comes out a little before that. And I just love this, you know, because to me, and this is all about my home. You know, and the book is clear: homes, occupations, and affairs. We eliminate whatever your first step, whatever your process or substance is, and we're supposed to develop guiding principles to live, and we bring it in the home, work, and everywhere else. So if I'm bringing it to you before I'm bringing it home, I'm failing. And it says later in the book that a spiritual life that fails to meet your home obligations may not be that spiritual after all, right? So on page 82, it talks about home a lot. And then it tells me that I'm like a tornado roaring through the lives of others. I don't see it. And, you know, Lonnie might have heard me say this before. You know, when I'm taking someone through this part of the book, I want them to Google or YouTube up what a tornado looks like as it goes through a town. Go see the visualization of everything in the path of that tornado being completely destructed with no ability to rebuild, right? And then it talks about the farmer coming out of the cellar saying, "Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing?" That's my selfishness and self-centeredness, that I'm looking forward, never back, you know? And the back might be the greatest asset of my life to be able to take care of. And so you can be free of me. Like if you see me on the street when I'm walking to work, you don't have to turn the corner or duck and there's that guy again. You know, if you don't have to run and I don't have to duck either, you know? So again, this ninth step is not about repairing the relationship, because if I go into a men's looking to fix the relationship, I'm self-willing it again. This is about taking responsibility and growing more effective relationship with God. So I think I probably, is that enough time? Okay, I'm done. Thanks, I'm Ian, and alcohol.